In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the second Sunday after the Epiphany as we chant the intro.
The Lord brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the radiant banners you say, O Lord.
God in the highest, and
peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son,
chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day in 408.
Join in Cana's feast.
Season, and this is the third major event of the Epiphany season. It began with the Magi and the star and the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh for Jesus, prophet, priest, king. The second event was last week, the baptism of our Lord, when the Father's voice says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And then the Spirit came down like a dove upon Jesus, who entered the waters to fulfill all righteousness. Today is the third event of the Epiphany season. Jesus showing his glory, changing the water to wine at a wedding in Cana. And Epiphany will come to its culmination on Transfiguration Sunday, which is February 27th, where Jesus shines in glory upon the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah, the beloved Son to whom we must listen. So Epiphany is all about the glory and the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas night is about his humanity. The Word became flesh and was laid in a manger in Bethlehem. Epiphany is reminding us that this baby is the Son of God and shines in glory. So today, my friends, in Jesus' first miracle, when he changed the water into wine at the wedding in Cana, he is showing us his glory. We are the disciples now who believe in him. So let's do three things this morning with this text. Let's first of all begin with the drama of this marvelous event in Cana. Jesus, his mother Mary, the servants, the bridegroom and the bride, and the master of the banquet. Then we'll look at how Jesus' glory was shown to his disciples through this miracle. And lastly, how does Jesus prepare us for the wedding banquet in heaven? The drama of this event. On the third day in the city of Cana in Galilee. You can still visit this little town up north by the Sea of Galilee. Near the place where this happened, there is a church where you can worship. And there's a mosaic of this event in that little city of Cana. They even will sell you little bottles of wine in the gift store. Here was the drama of this event. On the third day, after he had met Philip and Nathanael, there was a wedding in Cana. And Mary was there assisting, and Jesus and his disciples were invited. Now, every marriage reminds us of the first marriage. It is not a coincidence that Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding. The first institution God established was marriage in Genesis chapter 2. Marriage can only be a man marrying a woman. That's God's plan. And Adam and Eve, the first marriage, were created, and the two become one flesh. And God established marriage as the first institution. And for good reason, Jesus' first miracle then was at a wedding. Now, these weddings were 7-day events. It lasted for a whole week. Family and friends would come from long distance. People would take the whole week off. It was a holiday. And eat and drink and dance and sing and rejoice for a 7-day feast at this wedding. Mary, Jesus' mother, obviously knew the family because she was assisting in this banquet, as did Jesus' disciples because they also were invited. And then a major problem occurred. The wine ran out. This would be just as bad as the food running out. All these people are here for a week to eat and to drink. You can't run out of wine, but they did. So Mary, who was assisting in the banquet, goes to Jesus and says, "They have no more wine." Now, she was stating the facts to her son. She had no idea what Jesus might do about it, but she told Jesus. When Jesus says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." He was not being disrespectful. In Genesis chapter 2, Eve is called the woman, created by God. When Jesus later is hanging on the cross and sees his mother and John, he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." He's just reminding her, "Mother, you know that my Father is God the Father in heaven. And what does this have to do with me? This is not my banquet. This is this problem for this young couple. My hour has not yet come." His hour for his passion and suffering and death was far away. However, Mary is not dissuaded. Mary simply says to the servants, "You do whatever he tells you to do." And then she walks away. Well, Jesus, of course, is going to help out this young couple. The Jewish people would have these large stone water jars by the door. They would use it to wash their feet, to wash pots and pans, to clean the house, and in ritual purification spiritually. These were large. They had 20 to 30 gallons of water in them, and there were 6 of them. So Jesus says to the servants to fill them to the brim, because what he's about to do is lavish and extravagant for this couple. He simply says, "Now draw some of the water and take it to the master of the feast." We know that when they take it to the master of the feast, that it has become wine, really good wine. And the master's tasting it. He has no idea where this has come from. And this was very unusual. This was an uncommon practice. He goes to the bridegroom and says, "People don't have the best wine last, but the worst. You've saved the best wine to the end of the festival." He's complimenting him. But the servants knew exactly what had happened. Now think of this. This is 120 to 180 gallons of wine. That is a lot of wine for a lot of people. And it's good wine for the guests. Here we see that Jesus is doing something lavish and extravagant. He's honoring marriage by doing this. God established marriage. This couple is getting married. He's present. He's honoring their marriage. He's blessing them with this gift. We do honor marriage. We rejoice when our family members and friends are married. And we come to the service and to the banquet and rejoice. Because we want to always hold up the great blessing of Christian marriage. Of a man and a woman. A husband and a wife who are married. And if God grants them children and grandchildren. What a blessing. We thank the Lord, don't we, for our marriages and for our families within our congregation. And that's why we pray for you when you have a wedding anniversary, because all of the marriages in this parish are precious to the Lord. Thank the Lord that he honors us with this gift of marriage. Secondly, we see how Jesus has showed his glory to the disciples in this wedding on earth. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The first of his signs, it was his first miracle. Now, all through the Gospel of John, the miracles are always called signs. If you're trying to get to a destination and you come up to a sign and it points to the city and it tells you 10 miles away, you don't just stand there looking at the sign. You look at the sign, oh, we're going that way, and it's 10 miles. The same thing is true of this miracle. It's not just standing and staring at all this wine. Wow. But what does this point us to? It's always a sign. And it's a sign throughout the entire Gospel of John. Later on, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Connected to me, you bear much fruit. It would be at institution of Holy Communion that he would take the wine of the Passover and give us his body and blood in Holy Communion. Jesus would drink the bitter cup symbolically of the wrath of God, drinking the dregs at the bottom of the cup when he was offered on our behalf from the cross. And here at Cana in Galilee, he is manifesting his glory. The word there is doxus, from which word we get doxology, praising God from whom all blessings flow. He's showing his glory to his disciples in this simple act of changing water into wine. And they believed in him. They had faith. The object of their faith was Jesus. This is the Christ. One of the beautiful things about Jesus' miracles is how even the miracles are done in humility. Jesus doesn't stand over the water like a magician and go, abracadabra, everybody watch what I'm going to do now. He does this so secretly, it's just the humble servants that even know what has happened. The same thing with the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John. He just begins to break the bread. Next thing you know, all these people have eaten. Even his miracles were done as an act of humility and service to point us to the greater reality. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the vine who gives us life. That's the point. The early church recognized the glory of Jesus, his identity. No one can say Jesus is Lord, Paul said, except by the Holy Spirit. We are about to confess the glory of Jesus and his lordship in the Nicene Creed after the sermon is done. It's the Spirit of God who is giving you that faith. You didn't concoct this faith. Through the Word, the Holy Spirit gave you faith to confess Jesus is the Lord and the Christ. He is the glory of God incarnate. This faith created by the Word of God, St. Paul says, saves us from paganism and mute idols. Look around the world. It's filled with spiritual darkness, paganism, mute idols, and religious and worldviews of darkness. We have been rescued from that. Paul says in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can say Jesus is Lord because you have the same Holy Spirit that I do. All Christians, true Christians, have the same Holy Spirit. In the apostolic era, as Paul was speaking to the various gifts that were given of wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and tongues, one and the same Holy Spirit pours out his gifts upon us so that today we have the truth of God's word written down by those very apostles through whom and by that word and spirit you have faith to confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we rejoice in the gift of earthly marriage. We rejoice that the Spirit has revealed to us the glory of God through Christ Jesus, which has been manifested through this miracle. Thirdly, how does Jesus prepare us for the wedding banquet in heaven? Every Christian marriage has three aspects to it. When someone is getting married right here, when I do the wedding, right before the communion rail, and they're standing, and then there's a kneeler before they are joined in holy matrimony, you have an earthly marriage of a husband and a wife, a man and a woman getting married right here. But then when you come to church on Sunday, you go to this communion rail and you kneel to receive the body and blood of the bridegroom for us, the church, his bride. And thirdly, this is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in heaven, in paradise, the Lamb's feast in heaven, which knows no end, where Christ the bridegroom comes to meet his bride. And all of us await the day of the Lord's glorious return. All of this was foretold by Isaiah this morning. Zion is the church. Israel is the church. Believers, Jews and Gentiles, who focus their lives on the righteousness and salvation that is found in Christ alone. Isaiah foretells that we will have a new name. And in holy baptism, we are given a name, Christian, saint, baptized with water and word in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the mouth of the Lord. This is the hand of God who has given you your new name. And he calls us God's delight. We are married to him. We are the church. He rejoices over us like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Each and every time I do a wedding, I remind the young couple about the heavenly banquet that knows no end. Every time a man and a woman is getting married, you're seeing there the original Adam and Eve. If you could look back into time, into Genesis, there was the original husband and wife, Adam and Eve. Then, like it says in the Gospel of Matthew, here is this couple getting married, this husband and wife, two becoming one flesh in Christ. And then looking farther all the way to Ephesians in the book of Revelation, Christ laid down his life for the church. He sanctifies us by water and word. He clothes us in a white robe, just like a woman on her wedding day in her white wedding dress. And the bridegroom has come and comes to us, his bride, when we receive Holy Communion, which is a foretaste of the banquet to come. You will notice all through the lesson today, even in the liturgy, those themes are woven together. And it's not an accident. The lessons, the hymns, the scripture, even the liturgy, all winds together as a beautiful reminder that the glory of Jesus is continually being manifested to every generation, and that includes us. So in conclusion, Jesus' final hour did come when his mother, the woman, Mary, stood at the foot of the cross and saw him crucified and buried. But she was also an eyewitness to his glorious resurrection. Having been declared righteous in God's sight through the sacrificial death of Christ in our place, who shed his blood so that we can receive the holy garment of his righteousness that clothes us, consider how you are touched every day by the means of grace. The word is being preached right now to your ears and into your mind and to your heart. You heard the word of absolution telling you today that your sins are forgiven. In water and word in your baptism, the Holy Spirit was given to you through the washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. And when you come here to receive Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine in Holy Communion, he's given you that gift as his church. We are being prepared for the glorious wedding banquet of the Lamb and his kingdom, which knows no end. Look at these pews here and think of the people that were sitting here a year ago and are not here now. They've died and they've gone to be with the Lord in heaven. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it might be the last time. That's not a morbid thought. That's a glorious thought. Because when we commune here, it's preparing us for the eternal feast that knows no end. We are prepared for this glorious banquet. We are the bride, his church. Let us rejoice in the wedding feast in heaven, which knows no end. thanking God for our earthly marriages, thanking Him for His miracle, showing us His glory and manifesting it to us, and preparing us for the wedding banquet in heaven. Oh, let us rejoice during this Epiphany season. The glory and the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed to us. Rejoice that still today, Jesus, for you and for me, manifests every day His glory. To Jesus be glory forever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to page 158. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O Lord, You manifested Your glory in the sign at Cana, as You restored creation through the shedding of Christ's blood. Pour out Your gracious abundance, give us joy and gladness and revelation of Your truth in the person of Your Son. Preserve Your Son's bride, the Church. Make it a constant joy and delight in the preaching of the good news of forgiveness in our Savior, for us poor sinners. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, You blessed the wedding at Cana with Your presence and honored it with Your first miracle. Strengthen and give gladness to all married couples and their families. Be present in our homes and lives with Your free and abundant forgiveness, and preserve us in the true faith from each generation to the next. This week be with Bobby Tamale, Melanie Mader, Casey Kennard and Kim Hager, Michelle Connor, Jeremy Conkling, Robert Huntley, and Grace Rowley. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, You rule this world by Your power. Give to our civil servants respect and recognition of Your creation and its nature. When they use authority given from above, may it be in accord with your good design, free us from the corruption of sin. Help us to rebuke the evil and do good for all of our citizens. And continue to bless Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, and Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Courtney Tate, and Danny Green, Ricardo Batanga, as they serve in the military. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, we bring before You the sick, the distressed, and the needy, all in need of healing and strength. Be with the many members of our family, congregation, and friends who are suffering with COVID and the flu. Grant them healing and strength. Continue to be with Judy Smith, Jessica Brower, Raymond Sendelbach, and Patty Rever, Jean Vorster, Dwayne Wasowski, LaDonna Moss, Chris Henderson, Neil Taptoe, Jill Tarver, Candy Darmody, all in need of healing and strength. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In Jesus, the resurrection and the life, comfort Jackie Mullen's family in the death of her brother, Joe Dawson, now that he's been received by you into heaven. Comfort the family in Christ, Jesus, who is for us the resurrection and the life, and the true hope of paradise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you continue to manifest yourself by the means of grace through the preaching of your word. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church in 2022, that we will be faithful in proclaiming this gospel to the next generation. And bless Pastor Tom Going and his wife Debbie and their family as they serve at the Urwa Lutheran School in Tokyo, Japan. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of glory, help us to walk before you in purity and holiness, putting our trust in you, leading such lives on earth that in the world to come we may have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual of friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the God offering.
We sing Offertory, page 159. We stand to sing. Thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament, in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. 164, we stand to sing.
Upon you with favor and give you peace.